Blog Talk Radio.
His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
Bring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this.
Right.
Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You son of bitches, get out and get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power. Black power, black power, and more black power to my people. This is your brother, your soldier in arms and comrade in battle. This is Sean Kwali. I'm happy to be able to broadcast live once again to you from right here in the hails and the smells of North America. And as always, I count this a privilege. I count this a joy. I count this an esteemed honor to be able to talk to you from this platform that we call and consider Black Power Radio, the official broadcast, of the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. We welcome you on another Monday night, a hot, steamy Monday night, not because of the weather outside, but a hot and steamy Monday night because of the conditions in the world. Right now, 2012, as we look at the paradigm of the world, the black man and the black woman still in 2012 are scrapping for the crumbs from the former slave master's table. Still in 2012. We're still talking about wanting freedom, still talking about self-determination, still talking about being fully employed, still talking about some power, and talking about our communities being viable communities and not being robbed by capitalists. We're still talking about putting an end to racism, putting an end to Zionism, and putting an end to sexism. We're still talking about in 2012 fighting against black-on-black crime, fighting against the trafficking of drugs and the biological and chemical warfare aimed and targeted at our people. We're talking about putting in 2012 still an immediate end to police harassment, brutality, and murder of black people in 2012. And so with all that said, I got to tell you, black man and black woman, a lucha continua, the struggle continues. I know some of you wanted to give up the fight. Some of you wanted to be able to lay down and to, I guess, retire. Some of you want to be able to take it easy and to kick back and to kick your feet up. This isn't going to be that kind of hour. This is the new Black Panther Party official radio broadcast. And we're here to sound the alarm and to let it be known to every black man and black woman throughout the hills and the smells of North America, in Africa, in England, and abroad, wherever you are, You're in a state of emergency, black man and black woman. As we talk right now, you are in a state of emergency. But before I get to that, and before we hear in the first segment from our sister, who is the mother of a young man who was assassinated by the NYPD, Sister Constance Malcolm, and her son, Ramali Graham. Some of you have heard of that. Before we hear from her in the first segment, hell, I got to open up giving thanks to the black God, the Most High God, the God of our forefathers and foremothers, who answers to many names and is called by many names throughout 196,940,000 square miles. We give thanks for giving us life on this day, giving us breath on this day, and giving us, some of us, the sound mind to fight against oppression right now today. We give thanks to all of our ancestors, those who have gone on, those who have transcended, whatever your belief is, those who are no longer physically here, knowing that energy is constant. We give thanks to all of our ancestors and our freedom fighters and our warriors from different decades of time who knew it was not okay and knew it was not right to be enslaved and to be mistreated and to be treated less than human, less than the original people have treated others in the past. Those who have fought, but not only the fighters, those who have educated, those who have given law to the world, given mathematics to the world, given alchemy and science to the world, those who have given government, period, to the world. Our people, the Aboriginal people, the black man and the black woman, we give thanks to you. Give thanks to the freedom fighters. We give thanks to every single Panther regiment from whichever time that they appeared and popped up, and whatever the circumstances was that caused it to pop and to form and to shape. Wherever there is oppression, it breeds resistance. Wherever there is oppression, it breeds resistance. And no matter whether consciously or unconsciously, our people, when you read our history, we have always resisted against the oppression of our open enemies. And so the Panther has existed. The Panther has existed from the continent of Africa all the way to the shores of Jamestown, Virginia. And it's made its way now, taking firm root now, in the hills and smells of North America, manifested through many movements, and now manifested in 1989 out of Dallas, Texas, ultimately into the hands of a beautiful, bold, bald-headed black man, a brother who we say is 100% black man, uncompromising, unrelenting, and unflinching with the enemy. A black man, a warrior, a king, who said that his purpose on this planet was and is to give the devil hell from the cradle to the grave. A man who we affectionately know of and call the Black Power General. I speak of our big brother and champion, and that's why I'm talking about the ideological figurehead of this organization and standard bearer, talking about the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. We give thanks for him. And we give thanks to a black man that answered the call of destiny. A black man who has not punked out over the years of his development and has continuously fought not only the good fight, but fought the great fight. year after year, time after time, triumph after triumph, heartache after heartache, he has continued to stay the course. And he has continued to remain faithful to that which is called revolutionary black nationalism and Pan-Africanism. And he has continued to remain faithful to his mentor and leader and the black power general, the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad, this brother we know of within the party as the warrior lawyer. There are many of you attorneys out there that are punctified and sissified, but this black man has stood up when others would not stand. He has laid it on the line when others would not lay it on the line. This brother risking career and risking sometimes life and limb for the black man and black woman has repeatedly shown that God, the God of our forefathers and foremothers, is with him and with us. And what we stand on from the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad is right and exact. I'm speaking of a black man who came all the way from Los Angeles, California, and went on into Howard University. And unlike the average Howard University student, he didn't just go to get his degree and get on out of there. This black man went in there and began to organize on the campus of Howard University, starting up a group called Unity Nation, bringing in men like Dr. Leonard Jeffries, and bringing in Minister Louis Farrakhan, bringing in Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad, bringing in the Ashraq Kwesis, bringing in so many of the freedom fighters that some of you don't even know about today, the younger ones that you don't even know about. It's a shame. This black man rocked Howard University, and he continues to rock as the mentee and student of the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad, and our national chairman today, that five-star general who continues in the tradition of organizing black men and women to self-determination, a man who was affectionately called by the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad a modern-day Huey P. Newton, organizing in the spirit of the Honorable Kwame Ture, formerly Stokely Carmichael. I'm talking about the attorney at war and our national chairman, who I represent to you and send you greetings from, our national chairman, Dr. and attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. I say Black Power on Black Power Radio. Black Power on Black Power Radio. We have to raise the cry of Black Power. We have to raise the cry and the standard bearer of black power once again in the hills of North America. Some of you have become mealy-mouthed. You've become pasteurized. You've become homogenized. You've become watered down, mixed and fixed and tampered with and diluted. The cry of black power has been erased from many of your minds. So many freedom fighters fought not only to say it, but to establish it. And now, because so many of you are in the white man's education, you trade the education of your people, the heritage of your people, the culture of your people, the folkways, the forays, the norms of your people, the mindset of your people for that which the white man has. And that which the white man has today is not even benefiting him or her. This world is on a continual decline. Everything that is run by Western U.S. powers or Western colonialist powers is on a continual decline. And so the result of it, my brothers and sisters, and even to those of you who are unfriendly in the audience listening, the result of it is now that U.S. imperialism or Western aggression has reached a climax in America. As a study that came out a few days ago that said, I think this came from the Malcolm X grassroots movement, that said approximately every, I think it's 42 hours in America, or every 40 hours in America, that a black man, a black woman is being killed at the hands of the police departments here in the United States of America. I'm going to get you the actual facts on that in a few minutes, but I believe it was every 40 hours, every 40 hours of black life is being exterminated at the hands of some police officers somewhere in the hails and the smells of North America. Now, I know what you're thinking. Some of you out there, you say, well, you're doing it to yourselves. We're killing ourselves. But I have to bring your attention to this, my brothers and my sisters, who say that. We did not educate ourselves. We are not governing ourselves. As a people, industriously, we are not even really feeding ourselves. Everything that we have done in the hells and smells of North America, ultimately, if not in the way of self-determination, is a learned behavior. There used to be a time you could say, well, that's a white family that did that. Or, you know, that wasn't no black family that did that. But because of what our forefathers and foremothers fought for during the Civil Rights Movement, which was integration, which from the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, we teach you is a straight-up hypocritical trick. Our great ancestors and freedom fighters and warriors who fought for integration, thinking that they were in turn fighting for liberation and freedom, were tricked into a trick bag or burning situation, where now, even though you were integrated or we're integrated, we can so-called drink out of the water fountain. You can go to the movie theater and not have to sit in the balcony. You can go into the clothing store and not necessarily overtly get put out. You were not integrated into social equality. We were not integrated into the humanity in America. We were not integrated into the economic power structure of America outside of being cattle and like cattle, treated like cattle and producers. And so ultimately, even as you're talking about emancipation and integration and all of this stuff that we see as progress, we still reap the benefits of being an enslaved people. Now, what do I mean? When you are an enslaved people, that means that you are, and we are, a controlled people, controlled by exterior forces. And so when you look at the cases of, say, a Sean Bell, you look at the cases of, say, a Brother Ramali Graham, look at the cases of those who are being assassinated on the streets, judge, jury, and execution by the police department. You look at those cases, you can see clearly in America, if you got eyes, you're not free today. I don't care how many water fountains we can go to. I don't care how many toilets we can sit on with somebody white in the stall next to us. I don't care how many universities and colleges we can go to and how much of their education that we can quote. If you cannot be treated society-wise like a human being without being prejudged and predetermined to be a criminal, if you do not and we do not have some of this good earth to call our own, brothers and sisters, we are not free. If we don't have our original names, if we don't have our original languages, if we don't have our original culture, none of that, we're not free. And so I make no disrespect to the good efforts of those who came before us. I make no disrespect to it, but I would say, as Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz teaches, revolution is the only solution. If you're going for freedom, black man and black woman, it has to be a revolutionary freedom. When you look at our history, the only time that we were able to enjoy a bit of freedom or some real freedom was when we moved as a mass unit. You moved as a mass organization. You moved as a nation in a revolutionary spirit to make things happen. There is no time in history where an individual or individuals just moved on their own and got black people in a position to do what we need to do. We have to have organization. And the number two reason why NYPD and others can beat us over the head and take us out and choke us out is because black people are disorganized. What I mean when I say that is many of us refuse to even join an organization. We have the attitude that we don't need an organization. We don't need to be a part of an organization. We don't have to get connected with an organization. We have this attitude like we can just do it all ourselves. But history says that you must join an organization. And so our national chairman has taken heat because he has said that the Democratic Party has pimped our people like whores and prostitutes. And he's dead on right with that. The Democratic Party has pimped us like we're whores and prostitutes, or like we're a whore and a prostitute. But it's not just the Democratic Party, and he ain't just saying the Democratic Party. Both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party pimp us like whores and prostitutes. With all the suffering going on, where's the mass mobilization on behalf of black people? We have mobilized for everybody's agenda. Hell, you got even President Obama now organizing on behalf of the homosexual agenda and other agendas. Where is the agenda for the black man and the black woman, the sons and the daughters of Africa, those who come from a people who have given the world everything that it has? When you were just in the caves and the hillsides of Europe, white man and white woman, crawling around on all fours, scared to come out of the caves, ignorant to any civilization and knowledge, you were in the caves and hillsides of Europe, in there like a Flintstone, like Fred and Wilma Flintstone. You were in the caves, and it was black people, some who used the term Moors, some who used the term Asiatics. All of that true. It was black people who gave, who taught the civilization to the white man and the white woman to come up out of the caves and hillsides of Europe and take part of a civilized lifestyle, quote unquote civilized lifestyle. The first ones, the first groups to come out of that cavey way or that cavey lifestyle, you call them Jews. The so-called Jewish community, the Ashkenazi Jew, came up out of the caves and hillsides of Europe because of the black man and the black woman. But you don't give the respect due to those of us who come from that. And instead, we are miseducated. We are mistreated. We are abused, misused, and misdirected. So, after 6,000 years, black man and black woman, it is evidently clear. It is overwhelmingly clear. It is overwhelmingly clear that black man and black woman, we have no help outside of ourselves. It is overwhelmingly clear that you cannot depend on the Democratic Party because they have only taken your votes only to give you concessions. You cannot depend on the Republican Party because they have only taken your votes and given you damn near nothing in return. It is clear, apparently, to me, black man and black woman, that we must build for ourselves. And this panther has been the vehicle for the black man and black woman to address the needs of self-determination. And so it is in point number 7 that we say we want an immediate end to police harassment, brutality, and murder of black people. And we want an end to black-on-black violence, snitching, cooperation, and collaboration with the oppressor. Some of you brothers and sisters and some of us brothers and sisters are just as guilty in helping the white power structure or the pink power structure maintain control over black people as the white man and woman himself and herself. Honorable Stokely Carmichael Kwame Ture later said that if you're not for black people, you're against black people. If you're not for us, you're against us. The Black Panthers of the 60s used to say ride with us or collide with us. All of these issues going on in the world, every 40 hours in America, a black life killed by the police department, and there's no real outcry. There's no real mobilization. There's no one outside that I can see truly in a massive way. And if I'm wrong, hell, pull my coat, we'll join on with you. But there's not many that I see out here outside of the new Black Panther Party that will willfully challenge police departments and agencies, not only on their wrong, but on their breaking the law itself. I don't see you out there doing that. I see us out here kowtowing. And then there's a movement that has sprung up now, I say a subculture of videotaping violence now, videotaping police terrorism now, but no response to the activity. That is just as wrong. Videotaping and not having a viable response solely is just as wrong as, hell, not taping it at all. We got to have some that will videotape, and we got to have some that will agitate. I know what I'm saying. We got to have some that will intervene in the affairs of black people. Hell, all of you getting ready to go give your vote, what are you voting for? You're getting ready now, gearing up to go get you some Mitt Romney in your life or re-vote for Obama. What the hell are you voting for? If we don't have land, bread, clothing, housing, freedom, justice, and equality, what the hell are you voting for? Rick Santorum, is a racist. He's going to win amongst the conservative racists. He's going to win amongst the evangelical Tea Party voters, those that are easy to hang black people from trees. He's going to win. He's going to win. But, hell, I doubt very strongly that he has a chance in hell, because there's so many of us that are duped by the Democratic Party and this Obama campaign as well. You all really believe that you have a choice out here like that. The Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad used to say it's like choosing against bacon and ham. He say it's like choosing against bacon and ham. Which one you're gonna choose? We have to begin to put our power together, black man and black woman. And so, let's get off into it now. We got a lot of show here to cover, but I want to move into the segment that's so important. And as we talk about in America, we talk about every 40 hours a black man, a black woman is killed at the hands of a police agency around the world. We're on to an important topic and an important subject now in speaking about our brother, now an ancestor, Brother Ramali Graham. This is serious. And we want to give a salute and a lot of credit to his mother, who is on the front line, making sure at every turn that her son receives some justice. Now, what I find terribly wrong in this case is that so many of you don't even know about the case. You're not even upset. You don't even know to be upset because we're not keeping up with the daily assassinations that happen to our people. Some of us have unfortunately become desensitized to what is going on, and so we have to give a salute and a lot of credit to Sister Constance for being faithful in this hour and making sure that her son receives some justice. And we're going to, right now, at this time, welcome to Black Power Radio a strong sister who is holding the line for her son, and there is no love like a mother's love for her child. We want to welcome to Black Power Radio and ask a few questions and find out what's going on and find out where the status of this case is. Our sister of our brother who was assassinated by the NYPD. This is Sister Constance Malcolm. Black Power, peace and blessings. How you doing, my sister?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Queen. Welcome to Black Power Radio. And I want to first thank you for taking the time out to be on here with us and talk with us and to tell what's actually happening in your son's case.
Thank you for having me. I want to start by saying thanks also to Khadijah to put me on to you to speak to you on the radio. I want to appreciate, you know, give thanks for her. Right now, the case is we go back to court September the 13th. That's just a hearing. The actual trial probably won't start till probably next year, the 2013, 2014. That's probably when the trial is going to start. They're just having hearings right now. So the next hearing is going to be September 13th.
Okay. Tell us a little bit, and I want to kind of back you up, Sister Counselor. I want to kind of back you up because, unfortunately, a lot of our people, they're not keeping up with the news, okay, not keeping
yeah.
up with the happenings. And so I want to get all of the facts out here. We're talking to the world right now. And so kind of back us up and kind of just give us what happened. What happened? Who is your son, Ramali Graham, and what happened to lead to this point?
All right. I can't go into too much of what happened, but I could give you what I could talk about. What
Absolutely.
Happened is Ramali was 18 years old. Ramali was in his house when the cops came in. They saw him from outside, you know, supposed to have a gun. And they came in my house and kicked the door down and came in and shot Ramali. At first, when they did it, they said that they chased Ramali. They put out a tape of some guy running and trying to say it was my son. Unknown to them, there was a videotape on their house, a surveillance tape on the house, that showed my son walk in, take out a key out of his pocket, open the door, and come in. That said, some cops coming from the other direction, the opposite direction from where my son coming from, after my son come in the house, trying to kick the door down to come in. You're supposed to be in hot pursuit of somebody, and you come from the other direction. I don't understand how that hot pursuit, because you're supposed to be behind the person if you're in a hot pursuit. That's one. Two, like I said, they show a video clip of somebody running that had no time stamp, no nothing, and try to save my son. Even though with that, a lot of people see the videotape of my son walking in. They still have it in their head that my son was running. And I just want to make it clear, my son was not running. He was not running. And you know, a couple minutes later, my son was dead. No warrant, no nothing. My son is dead. And then, and that's all part of the stop and frisk racial profile. I really, really believe if it wasn't for that, my son would be alive. So we have Ramali was 18. We do individuals. On every Thursday because Ramali was murdered on a Thursday, and we did 18 visual because Molly was 18 years old. So this Thursday will be the last of the 18 visual, but not last of the rallies that we have planned. We in the stage two form of planning now. So we asking everybody just to come out this Thursday, you know, in support, because like I tell people, you know, I'm not fighting for just Ramali. Ramali is no longer here. So I'm fighting for the kids that's here now. My 6-year-old son that was also in the house when it happened. The bullet could have ricocheted and hit him.
You said he was in the house.
He was in the house along with my mom. They also, after they killed Ramali, they took my mom to the precinct and held her there for 7 hours trying to question her, put words in her mouth. And, you know, it took me 4 days to find my son's body. On top of that, when I found his body, I had to identify his body by his birthday. They had him under a wrong name. They clearly knew who he was, so right then and there, they tell you what they were trying to do. Mm. So, you know, the system is very corrupt. They're very corrupt.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And so you're saying that this the incident which happened with your son, I know you still have a pending hearing and things going on, but the incident that happened with your son is a result of this stop and frisk that's
stop
going on now in New York City. Kind of explain to the people what stop and frisk is.
They just stop you, and the famous word is, you look like somebody, or you're a suspect, or we got a call, you fit the description. That's what they always do when they want to stop you without a cause. They have no, just because you're black or Latino, and it mostly happens to black and Latino.
Mm-hmm.
That's who this affects. So if you put a law in place, it should go for everybody, not just one side people. So I think it's really a problem with stop and frisk. They don't see it's a problem, but it's a problem. Because how do everybody they stop, out of 10 people that they stop, only one they might find something on.
Exactly. Think about that. And so what has been the support of the people so far?
The support is very great. You know, we have people that come out and support every Thursday. But I think we as black people need to come out more because this is who is affecting. And we need to stand up for our rights and pay attention, because if we don't stand up for ourselves, there's nobody going to stand up for us.
So you got good support, but it should be stronger. Now you say
it should be stronger.
It was on tape. They showed your son. You say he was walking through the door.
He walked through the gate and opened
the
front door and came in. Yeah.
Walked in the gate.
So if anybody want to know, they go on YouTube. They see it. They have it on YouTube. It's on YouTube, Ramali, Graham, and you type that name in, and everything will come up, and you will see it.
They have charged the police officer now with what, manslaughter, or what is it now?
Manslaughter 1 and manslaughter 2.
Manslaughter
and
1
the only
and
person that got charged was the officer that pulled the trigger, and there were two other officers in the house with them, and only him just got charged. And I felt that was unfair, because if me, you go on a robbery, and you come inside and I'm outside, and you came inside and killed somebody, both of us getting charged.
So there was more than one officer. I'm just trying to repeat it so that the audience will know exactly what's going on. There's more than
one officer
in the house.
Yes.
And they've only charged one officer.
One officer,
three officers.
One that pulled the trigger.
Wow. In his grandmother's apartment. Three officers come in. And I believe they allegedly said it was over some weed or something ridiculous.
No, that's the problem. They originally say they saw a butt of a gun in my son's waist. And after they killed my son, he had nothing. So all of a sudden, because what they said, they had a surveillance, the corner store. There's a corner store on 228th Street. They were surveillance in the corner store, not my son. So when my son came up, he gave his friends a pound and kept on coming to the house. That's when they're supposed to saw a gun in his waist. And it's supposed to be had chasing him. And none of that was planned out to be true.
They lied.
And after when they found it was no gun, they started like twist and turn their story, because at one instant, when it first happened, Felicia Ray Kelly came out and said it was a struggle. And the next day he came back and retracted his story. So my question was to Kelly, who gave you that story? It had to be your police officer. I mean, your officer are lying to you. Why would they tell you that? And for you to go repeat and look like an ass. Excuse me.
No, you're all right. You're on Black Power Radio. So Commissioner Kelly came out. He came out all the way on this side. Then he come and he retracted his story.
Yes.
And then they tried to basically slander your son's character.
Character.
And the story's falling apart.
Yes. But, you know, as black people, that's what always happened. You know, a lot of times these kids go to court for simple little minor offense, and they tell them to take a COD, and then they take it. Not knowing this will follow them, and that's what they always use to get these kids in trouble. They don't know because this court-appointed lawyer is telling, okay, just plead guilty instead of trouble 6 months. They don't know. They're like, okay, because we don't want to get up early and go to court, get you know, stand in court for a whole day. They plead guilty to these stuff, and this will come back and haunt them later. So we as people we have to educate our kids. Don't let these lawyers tell you to do something you know you didn't do. Do not plead guilty to something that you didn't do. Just because you don't want to be bothering going to court back and forth. If it takes you 10 years, keep going to court. Keep going to court. You know you didn't do anything. Do not plead guilty to something you didn't do.
Teach, teach. And so let me ask you this for the radio listener audience. Did they have a warrant?
No, they didn't have a warrant. They had nothing. They didn't identify themselves or anything. They just busted the door and came in.
So with no warrant, just for the audience listening, with no warrant and no real probable cause, they chased down and stalked your son and then kicked in the door of his grandmother's apartment.
No, it's actually my apartment. My mom lives with me. We all live together.
It's your,
yeah.
It's the family's apartment.
Yes.
It's your apartment with your mom.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
You know, but that's you know, I want to say these are the problems we're going through because, like I said, police Ray Kelly, think he gave them the power to do this because if you start disciplining these cops, half of the stuff they do outside, they wouldn't do it because they have the PBA backing them and Kelly behind them when they do wrong. They're going to continue doing this. And you think it's paying somebody's family off. That's not enough. These officers got to go to jail for what they do. This is the only way they're going to stop doing what they do.
That's right. That's right. So do you think, Ms. Constance, do you think that this is a policy within the NYPD? Do you think this is how they conduct business?
Yes, that's how they conduct business. Because I'm saying, I put it this way. If you're not safe in your home, where are you safe? Where are you safe?
That's real.
It's a cop who just kick your door down and come in with no warrant. This is a law they put in place. You have to have a warrant to come in somebody's house. And when you start kicking doors down without any warrant, any probable cause, what are you telling us? We no longer have any rights.
Yeah, that's real. That's real. At this point, I'm not convinced that we have any. I know what you're saying, but by the way they're acting, it's like
we don't have any rights.
It's like we in, like you said, like we in Beirut or something. So at this stage, we're several months in now, and so what can we do? What can we do now to really help you and help your family and to put pressure on Commissioner Kelly and the NYPD and those who've done wrong? What can the people do?
We just want people to come out and support and let them know we're not going to stop. We're not going to stop till we get justice. Justice means Officer Hayes go to jail for what he did. And all the other officers that's doing stuff that they're not supposed to do, one apple spoiled the whole bunch. So you always tell us, we see something, say something, but when are your cops going to do the same thing? When are they going to stop saying, tell your fellow officer, you're wrong, don't do this? When are they going to start saying that? They always tell us, if we see something, say something. They need to start saying that to their fellow officers.
What do you think about this officer who... from what I understand, hadn't been trained. He wasn't trained.
He was not trained to be in a narcotics unit. He was not trained to be in a narcotics unit. And that's what I said. Like I said, they're putting these cops out of the work, and then they don't have any training. That means they put them out here just do whatever you want.
Mm.
How could you put an officer on a task force like that that's out in the street, supposed to be out there taking drugs off the street without no training?
Commissioner Kelly, sound like you got some blood on your hands. Sound like
he
you got
actually
some blood.
Do.
Got some blood on his hands. Sister, we want to. Number one, we want to sound the alarm in this case. I think you all have done an excellent job in maintaining the struggle. And that's a credit, like you say, to the Khadijah and the New York chapter and the East Coast chapters of New Black Panther Party as well. But we want to raise the level of consciousness of the people, sister. We want to let them know that your son's life is viable and that black life is viable in general.
That's right. And like I said, I'm not going to stop fighting. I'm not going to stop fighting for my son and all these other young black, Latino, and Hispanic kids, you know, because I'm saying this is who it's affecting. And I'm not no longer fighting for Ramali. I'm fighting for these youngsters that's out here now. So, as like I said, that's the way they could support me, by coming out and show that we could stand in solidarity, we stand in unit, and that we could fight against it, and we could overpower these people and let them know we're not going to tolerate it anymore. We're tired of police abusing us and doing all kind of stuff they want with it. Look at Aluima. They sodomizing them, sodomize him.
That's
Sean
right.
Bell, they 50 bullets. I'm going to do a Diallo. Come
That's
on,
right.
And nothing came out of those cases. Are we going to repeat the same thing over in this case? I don't think so, because I'm going to stand up, and I'm not going to stop fighting until I get justice for my son.
That's what I'm talking about. That's the spirit that it takes. That's the spirit that it takes. So in the wake of all of this, and I'm just asking just so the listening audience can understand, in the wake of all of this, what has this case and what has this what we call assassination of your son, what has it opened your eyes to, sister, if anything?
It opened my eyes to a lot of things. It's a lot of things going on, and a lot of changes. It's a lot of changes have to be made to the system. It's a lot. It's a lot, because it's so much stuff going on. It's so much going on, and it just has to stop. It's crazy. That's all I can say. It's crazy, and these laws have to be changed. There's a lot of laws that have to be changed.
So you believe like us. You believe that the system is guilty, and
it's
those
broken.
Who put the system
it's
in
broken.
Place. It's a broken system. It's a broken system. So wow, I'm with you. That's all I can say. I'm with you. And so what's the solution?
We just want people to come out and keep on supporting me. And like I said, I thank everybody for supporting me and my family. I'm very grateful. You know, because a lot of times, you know, I'm looking like, oh, my God, you know, is this really happening? There's days I get up on, and I'm like, where's my son, you know? Is this really
right.
happening?
Right. What has kept your strength and kept your faith in this fight?
I always tell my kids, the reason why I have this strength, I always tell my kids, you have to fight for what you believe in. And if I just lay down now, he's going to be like, Mom, you always tell me to fight for what I believe in. So right there, I know I can't sit down. I have to continue to fight, because then I'd be a hypocrite if I didn't.
There was another young black male that was killed about a week or so before your son was killed. Is that right? Was there another one
yes,
killed before yours?
Yes, Tamon Robinson. It's after Tamon Robinson, with a car, the police used his car and ran him down.
Right.
Yeah, that was after.
That was after that. So there was one.
Yeah, and
it
had another
after
one
that.
After him. Yes, and it had another one directly after him. A young lady, Chantel Davis, with a cop. Supposedly, again, we don't know, because that's what they say. They're always quick to put your record out there on blast. And this officer, Philip Hopkins, he had 6 outstanding cases against him. They paid over $2 million out for him already from his aggressive behavior towards people. Now he turned and shot this young lady in her chest.
And that was right on the street, right?
Right on the street, 38th Street and Church Avenue in Brooklyn. So like
shot
I said,
like
they're out of control. Kelly need to put him on a short leash.
Mm-mm. We got to send a message. We're going to have to send a message. Sister, in closing, give us your closing comments. Anything that you'd like to say to the people,
yeah.
Anything that we should know, or whatever.
I just want people to keep on supporting
point.
And keep on, you know, coming out to the vigil. Like I said, this Thursday going to be we want to turn out to be a real big one. And the vigil going to be at 749 East 229th Street in the Bronx. Just come out and support, even just to come for 5 minutes. I appreciate it, because we have to stand in unity and let them know we tired. We are fighting back. We're not going to stop. Justice
yes, ma'am.
Must prevail in this.
Do you have a website? Is there a website?
Yes. If they want to get in contact with me, they go to ramaliscall at gmail.com or ramaliscall at .org. So that's RAMARLEYS. CALL at gmail.com again, and at ramaliscall.org.
Sister, we want to thank you so much for joining with us on Black Power Radio, and please keep us updated. Either come on and keep us updated as things are happening, or have Sister Khadijah to get on and to keep us updated. We want to keep up with what's happening in your case, and we are in the next upcoming edition of the new Black Panther paper going to put a story on your son again in the paper so the people know what's happened. That's my word to you, sis.
Thank you, and I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much. Thank you, Queen, for your strength. And God's blessing be with you and the family. We're going to prevail against our enemies, sister.
We will. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Queen.
Bye-bye. All right.
Brothers and sisters, that is the mother. That is the mother of now ancestor, Brother Ramali Graham, who is fighting, a freedom fighter, a sister who says right now that she is not at this stage only fighting for her son, or not fighting for her son, but she's fighting for your son and your son and your daughter and my daughters and sons and our people. And they have maintained the struggle. And once again, that website is Ramali's Call, ramaliscall.org. If you are not familiar with what is happening in that case and what has happened to that brother, what has happened where they unwarranted, no warrant, no real probable cause, kicked in that family's home and killed that young man in the home, right there in the bathroom. If you're not up to date on what's happening, go right now to Ramali's Call, or go to Ramali's Call and get hip to that case and get involved. The sad part about it, my brothers and my sisters and my family listening, is this happens all over America with no outcry. This happens all around the United States of America with no real outcry. And the sad part about it is that it is state-sanctioned. That in most of these cases, in most of these cases, it will be considered justifiable homicide because the state does not want to indict one of its own. You just heard from the mother. She said there was two other officers in the house. Two other officers there, but they're not even indicted. They're not even on the roll. One got charged with a manslaughter charge. And he fighting that. Brothers and sisters, we are in a state of war. That's the bottom line. So please, those of you who are in the New York area, if you're anywhere around New York, anywhere at all around the East Coast, really, it is incumbent upon you to help this sister and to help this family and to help black people, because the bottom line is America is a fascist state, and the execution arm of the state has always been the police department. Let me go to the phone line. Let me give me that area code 904-705. You're on the air. This is Black Power Radio. We're talking about that which was taken by force will be liberated. Black Power. Area code 904-705. Your mic is open. You have a question or comment? Right, we'll keep moving. Let me go for area code 214-329. You're on the air, Black Power Radio. We're talking about Brother Ramali Graham. We're talking about those who were taken by force being liberated. Black Power.
Black Power, brother. Peace and love.
This is Sister
Shabazz calling you from the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Thank you, brother. You were on fire earlier, so I enjoyed it. You're very welcome. And I just want to speak on just a couple of things that you spoke about earlier, as well as some of the things that our beloved sister just spoke about. And one of the things that I want to speak about is that it is absolutely imperative that our brothers and sisters start to align themselves with us, the new Black Panther Party. What happens is, it's not a matter of if, it's really a matter of when. When you have a death taking place every 40 hours here in America by some police agencies, then we have to understand that all of these are our children. We are
right.
All connected. We are all one. So the possibilities are very high now that your family could be involved. Somebody in your family could be murdered by this wicked system. So it's really imperative, because what I'm finding is that if we go back and look at most of these people who have experienced these tragedies, many of them were not associated with any kind of political group that could help them, that could stand up strong with them. So what we're doing is we're waiting until things happen. And my challenge is to our brothers and sisters is don't wait anymore. We have more strength and power if we organize together. Join on to us, the New Black Panther Party. We can help you. We will help you anyway. But it is better that you belong to an organization beforehand. And I know you talked about that, brother, and that hit very heavily with me because a lot of our brothers and sisters do think they have it in their mindset that they should not belong to an organization, but that is so far, far from the truth. Align yourselves with someone. And the second thing is that the sister said that the system was broken. And yes, but it's irreparable. For us to think that we can repair this system is just not going to work. We need to organize ourselves together and stand as a unit on this cause. We all got one common enemy, so I can't see why we can't get along. Forget about all of the other things that you think of. Oh, he's too short, she's too tall, her hair's too curly, you know, or they belong to the nation, they belong to this, whatever. We need to forget about all of that and understand that every last one of us have one Carmen beastly energy, and that is this Caucasian white man, this skunk of the planet Earth. That's our enemy, and he shows himself in his institutions, in his schools, in all of his systems that he has set up. He shows us that he is our common enemy. And that's what I wanted to share with you, brother, and I appreciate you allowing me the opportunity to come and speak these words to you and my brothers and sisters.
Sister, appreciate you and appreciate your strength and for being able to stand up and do what you're doing and say what you're saying. Why do you think it is that we're waiting as a people? Why do you think we're waiting like that?
Well, I'll tell you like my grandmother used to tell me, brother, then that nail ain't laying in your ass long enough or hard enough. And that's when we react, when something happens. But what I'm saying, what we have to start to take some action. But part of the problem is the foods that we eat. We're eating foods that make us think crazy, act crazy, and have no motivation. So if we start looking at the things that we're eating and putting into our mouths, then it can give our bodies the necessary energy that it takes for us to be conscious. It'll free us. We'll be able to think better. We'll be able to breathe better. Our blood will be able to circulate, and we could get back to a natural way of life because right now we are being chemically rearranged by the foods that we eat. So, and food is absolutely imperative. We don't grow none. We don't even want to grow a plant in our house that could give us a tomato plant in our house. So we have to start looking at what we're doing to ourselves. I don't think that it's Caucasians' responsibility to be nice to us. I think it is our responsibility to make sure that we are treated just. Just us together is what will create justice in our community.
Teach. Great teaching. So, love, thank you so much for your comments, sister, and thank you for being a strong supporter of the New Black Panther Party and a strong part of it.
You're welcome, my brother. Peace and love, Black Power.
Peace and love, Black Power. Let's go to another 214 area code. That's area code 214-672. You're now on air with Black Power Radio. We've heard from the mother of Romali Graham, and we're talking about being liberated from after being taken by force. Black Power.
Black Power, Brother Sean Kwali.
Black Power, how we doing?
I'm in high spirits like always. It is indeed a blessing as well as a privilege to come before you, the spirit of truth, Black Power General Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, and to serve you, our national spokesman, Brother Sean Kwali, and how can you leave out our national chairman, our fearless leader, our brother who is our leader, our teacher, and our guide who is taking us into the 21st century, Dr. Attorney Malik Zulu-Shabbar. Brother, this is heartbreaking. You know, down here we're suffering from oppression because they call it the Dirty South and the Bible Belt, and we're suffering under the fiction of slavery, and this thing is just not working too well with us. But to hear this kind of thing is going on the East Coast where our brothers are movers and shakers in the nation and making things happen, this is not acceptable. It's non-negotiable, sir.
Yes, sir, it is, brother. This, for those who don't know, this is the Supreme Captain of the New Black Panther Party. This is Brother Hakeem Muhammad. So, brother Captain, sir, what is your thoughts? What is your thoughts on this rampant police brutality happening, and our people being murdered in the streets every 40 hours by a police agency?
Well, as the Black Power General, Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, would say, I can't bite my tongue to this. I can't tiptoe to the tulips with this, and I can't pussyfoot with this when it comes to dealing with the goddamn white man. He's a clan. He's a quacker. And the first thing we got to know, first and foremost, he's taken off his hood, and now he's put on a badge, and he has a gun strapped on his hip. And if he's not there, he's the one that sits on the podium when you go to court, so you can't get any justice out of him. All you will get is just us. And, brother, I kid you not, after leaving the Black Power Summit, where our leaders that were movers and shakers for over 78 hours, as we sat there and pondered and reminisce over what has happened in the past and what should be happening today, I'm a mover and shaker like yourself. And our leader and our teacher and our guide, Dr. Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, gave me my mission. So I returned to Dallas, Texas. When I turn to Dallas, Texas, as a matter of fact, when I get off this radio, I'm going on to another broadcast, because the same dog that bit my brothers and sisters on the East and the West Coast has done the same thing down here in the dirty South. So by your instruction, brother, rally today, rally tomorrow. So I tell you, there wasn't enough of rallies going on, so we're going to bring some movers and shakers down here in the South, and we want to make some noise so your brothers and sisters on the East and the West Coast can hear us down here at the headquarters in Dallas, Texas. So at about 9 o'clock on the 21st, this coming Saturday, we'll be at the Calvary Phillips Methodist Baptist Church, Pastor Moore at 4703 Sunnyvale in Dallas, Texas, over in Oak Cliff, and we're going to start our first rally. From there, we'll move into our second rally, the Lancaster Police Department at 211 South Henry Street. The third rally, we're going to prepare an African Connection at 823 4th Avenue in Sunny South Dallas. We're helping to move out on this goddamn devil. This cracker is no good. As a supreme captain, I'm giving supreme orders and supreme instruction to everybody up under the leadership of our leader, Dr. Attorney Molly Zulu Shabazz, to move out. We're going to move your goddamn ass over, because we don't have one charge, and that's to be the boss. We done paid the cost for oppression for over 500 years, and we're tired of being oppressed. It's time for us to be the aggressor. The Black Bible General always taught us, never be the oppressed, but for anybody to come up against you, tell them to pray and give their soul to God, because ass should belong to you. The white man's day is numbered. It's over. We're up in the field with this damn devil from the cradle to the grave. God damn it. Black power. Black power. The Negro Supreme is such an all-general order and effect at this time. Move out, brothers, or we're going to move this goddamn devil over. Black power, sir.
Black power, sir. Brothers and sisters, that is the Supreme Captain, the new Black Panther Party, Brother Hakeem Muhammad, based right there in Dallas, Texas. And what he's saying is real. What he's saying is real. We got to stay on the case. We got to stay on the case. I'm going to take some more calls. These situations happen, brothers and sisters, because many of us have gone to sleep on our posts. Many of us have gone to sleep on our posts. Some of you think you don't have anything to fight for. You don't even wake up. I remember the Black Power General used to talk about waking up and looking for a fight. Looking for a righteous fight, a way to liberate the people. Some of you don't even look for a fight anymore. You're not even mad anymore. You're not upset. You're so comfortable in the wealth of America and the white man's world, and you're not reaping the benefits. You're not even upset. You don't even feel no kind of way about it. You don't even think that you got to move any kind of way about it. And it just... As the Brother Supreme say, it's heartbreaking, but it's a real reality. It is a real reality, and it like I said, it has to be told that you would be a fool right now to line up and vote for parties that do not represent your interest. This is bigger than plantation politics. All politics is, according to our teachings, all it is a war without bloodshed. That's all it is. Politics is warfare. They'll make all these promises to you. Say they're going to give you this and they're going to give you that. They're going to give you more jobs in your city. They're going to do this and do that, but you never get it. All these bailouts and all this funding and all this stuff never trickles down to the hood. After they finish building their bridges and their roads and their arenas and everything else, they'll give you a little crumb here and there to do a little something with, and they keep it moving. The Democratic Party and the Republican Party have pimped the black man and black woman. You have pimped the black man and black woman. I don't care whether you're black Democrats or white Democrats or black Republicans or white Republicans, brown, red, and yellow. Your party has pimped black people. You don't represent the needs of black people. You do not stand up for black people. Where's the Democratic Party in the case of Romali Graham? Where's the Republicans in the case of a Romali Graham? Where you at in the case of a Trayvon Martin? Hell, George Zimmerman right now, free on $1 million bail. $1 million bail, George Zimmerman is a free man right now, walking around, well, under police protection. Let me be all the way clear. He's walking around on $1 million bail on police protection. He's under security. $1 million. Welcome to America. You kill another unarmed black teen killed, and he walking around and he get police protection. And it just came out this week that the first time when the new Black Panther Party told you about the reward that came out from Sanford, Florida, and the residents there and those who were active in that reward, and we announced it to you, it came out this week that he was under police protection then. Under protection of what they say, an air marshal. Damn. So when you're talking about a broken system, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad used to tell us all the time, he would say that you cannot depend on Frank James to arrest Jesse James. Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz saying the same. You cannot depend on Frank James to arrest Jesse James. And we're proving to you all the more why they're silent on this issue. Black people have been taken by force. Our land has been occupied by force. Them white folks came in with them Bibles and came in with them guns and took over Africa. We ain't talking about the African version of the scripture. We're talking about that mixed up version that you gave our people, that you gave us to make us better slaves. Took our land, took it from us, and right now Africa has the most minerals and resources of any of the continents, and it's occupied and colonized by Western imperialism and U.S. forces. It's occupied right now. And us who grew up in the hells and smells of North America, we are occupied right now. The black man, the African man and African woman, we are occupied all over the planet Earth. Anywhere where you see black people, you're occupied. Now answer me this. How can we be the most occupied people in the world in terms of police and military force? But yet there's more, quote unquote, I say quote unquote, crime in our community. Hell, I say quote unquote, because the real crime is corporate crime. The real crime is taking over nations, taking over people's infrastructures, as in the case of U.S. imperialism, as in the case of NATO and others. That's the real crime. But what is broadcast throughout America is quote-unquote black-on-black crime. What you see on ABC and CBS and Fox News and all of that, they broadcast quote-unquote black-on-black crime. Why? Because they want to paint the picture that the black life is expendable. Now, where does the Republican Party and Democratic Party fall in all of this? We're going to talk about it as you all have come after Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz for saying that you have pimped black people. We going to talk about it. Let me take another call here. I get another one, and I'm going to try to get all of you in here. So just hang tight and hang close with me here. Let me go to area code 904-613. You're on the air with Black Power Radio. Your question, your comment, Black Power.
Black Power. As-salamu
Black
alaykum.
Power. Alaykum salam.
Brother James, Minister James, the education minister.
All right, Brother James. Black
First of all, I thank the Creator, thank God, for all the beautiful comments I've heard. I've listened to my sister Shabazz and my brother Supreme down in Texas, and I'm listening, and the beautiful, beautiful message from the sister about her son and the condition. One of the first things I just want to say, brothers and sisters, to everyone, that one of the first things that we must do is you must do for self. We must do for self, and doing for self does not mean hating anybody else, it means doing for self. But we are right out of our mind, as sister said, the food has poisoned our mind, it has poisoned us spiritually and mentally, and so we don't even think right. We see another black man, Brother Sean was just saying just a minute ago, we see another black man, we hate our own black self, and we love somebody else. And much of that condition has come from the public schools, it's come from the churches, which is built on the ideas of white supremacy. It's come from the books that you read, the television you let your children watch, and especially I'll go back to the schools, because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said it best. He said, people who have never treated you right, be clear, they have never treated you right, will never teach you right. And nowhere in the course of history have a people been taught to overthrow their slave masters. And I know you say it was the 21st century, we're not slaves. Brother Sean just laid it out. Think about this. You go to the grocery store, you don't eat unless you go to a grocery store that's owned by your enemies. You go to school, you don't go to school and get financial aid unless it's from your enemies. You carry a dollar. So it's our unity, Brother Sean, our unity and our strength. But this is the problem on a bigger level, and I'm going to cut it short. This is not rhetoric. This is not a plaything. We're dealing with people's lives. We are reactive more than we are proactive. A reactor. So the brothers that are getting locked up, we're talking about liberation after. What about the liberation before? If we know that the schools are poisoning our children's minds, and they are, then we do it before. We got people even in this damn struggle right now who hate to hear other black people talk, which really is a reflection of your own self-hate. That Negro would be quiet. I wish he would shut up. You know, we got to think. Think. This ain't no feminism and masculinism European concept. This is about us as a people, a village. We survived the transatlantic slave trade. We came here in chattel slavery. My sister, I was thinking about your son and others, and this man has something called justifiable homicide, where he can shoot our children down, or shoot you down like a dog, and then justify it because what? Because you're Negro, because you're black. Period.
Teach.
So our unity, how do you develop unity? Well, I don't like Al Sharpton. I don't like Dr. Malik. I don't like Brother Sean. God damn, you hate yourself that much? But you go vote in the elections. You register, half of us on here, more of us are registered to vote now. You can't wait till the election.
Right.
Can't wait till the elections. And all they do is like Lazarus at the table, settling for crumbs.
Bang
we
it.
Don't even talk reparations anymore. Where the hell did reparations go?
Go ahead.
We should be jamming this president. That's my brother. I love him. But hell, he should have reparations in front of him every day. All of a sudden, he's elected. Nothing else on reparations. I'm talking about people in this movement, out of this movement, from the SCLC, the NAACP, the other grassroots organizations. We don't want to make it hard. Well, this white man has already made it hard. Look at the unemployment rate in the black community.
Go ahead.
We want
right.
people to follow us. I have no problem. I'm saying this not out of hate, but out of love. Want people to follow us? Well, let's put down the Negro childish games and in-house fighting and create jobs for our people. I'm talking jobs for our people independent of others. The brother has, we have right here in the new Black Panther Party, 9 ministries. You fit in, get in where you fit in and build a nation.
Well, that's right.
I'm already an American nation. Well, has integrationism given you freedom, justice, and equality? Hell no. It's given you hell from the cradle, and you will get it to the grave.
Teach.
The Farrakhan
right,
said, and I have to bear his witness. He says a black, he said a white man's heaven is a black man's hell.
That's what it is.
White supremacy, white privilege, institutional racism, a real word. Yes, we got engineers who make money. They work in white corporate America. We have doctors and lawyers that work in white corporate America. Three quarters of us on this line. We say, I'm in the struggle, but guess what? We still go to work and we feed a system that continues to oppress us. And when you raise your voice and they get tired of you on the job, they say, well, thank you, we've had enough. And then we come to rent due. Then come the car payment due. See, this is nothing but a trap. Otherwise, Muhammad said this man is a universal snooper. He's listening right now. How you doing, Mr. White Man? I hope you're enjoying the work. He's listening right now. Don't you be a fool. Don't run and don't hang up the line because he know you. Sister, they know you were coming to this line tonight. Brother Sean, they knew we were coming. The reality is this. When are we going to be proactive? When are we going to take our own destiny in our own hand and move forward and stop being children? I got to say it, brother. This
yes,
is why
sir.
He calls us boy. The black woman, I got a sister, I love you. I want to protect you and respect you. But the first respect comes with being real. My sister Shabazz is real. I know that. My sister Chuma I've dealt with is real. My other sisters in the New Black Panther Party, some I've had to deal with, are real. Why do I know? Because, first of all, I don't find no false eyelashes. I don't find no false hair. I don't find no false fingernails, and then you turn around and say you want a real man. Well, if every damn thing is false, how can you get something that's real? Think over that. This is
yes,
what
sir.
The enemy has done, and all of this comes from my enemy. Brother and sister, first love. I got to go, Brother Sean, but I want to say this. It is our unity that is stronger than a nuclear bomb. It is our proactive planning. Everybody's not going to be strong as Brother Sean or strong as Dr. Malik or strong as my brother here, Brother McHale. But guess what? They have something to contribute because we need engineers. We need doctors, need computer technicians. We need people to design, architect, and build our communities. Stop begging our enemies what I will do for them. Malcolm said it best, and I love it. He said, how can you protest your enemy and then run and ask your enemy to stitch you up in the hospital?
That's it.
How can you ask your
That's
enemy
it,
to give
Jay.
You first aid and to nurse you and bring you back to health? It's something we must do for some. So I say this, let's accept our own. Let's be ourselves, brothers and sisters. Revolutionary change begins with us. It's not hating anybody else, but it's loving ourselves. I don't have time to hate anybody else. They do a good job of that themselves, but I want to love myself and love my people and do for our people, and that's what this work is about. Love you. Peace. Assalamu alaikum, Black Power.
Love you too, brother. Black Power to you. That's our brother right there out of Jacksonville, Florida. Jacksonville, Florida, working in that Ministry of Education, working to bring up some liberation schools across the country for the people, working to build a true curriculum for our babies, for our children, so that we'll stop being killed in a needle stuck in our brain the moment that we go into these schools as youngsters. That's Brother James Muhammad. We salute you and say Black Power to you, my brother, and appreciate your words. He's right. He's right. Our unity is the solution. Our unity is more powerful than an atomic bomb. And again, the forces that are against our people, the forces that are against us as a people, guess what, brother and sister? They're unified forces. Them are some unified forces against our people. And if you disorganize and you're doing your own thing and you're not in line with the liberation struggle of black people, how you expect to get free? How you expect to raise up a nation disorganized? Let me, as I'm going to take some more calls, but let me state for the record the position, New Black Panther position on this Republican Party and on this Democratic Party. We're right at the top of the hour. I'm going to stretch out on you. We've got a lot that we can cover and going to cover. But we in the New Black Panther Party are saying this. We're saying that the Republican Party does not have a vested interest in the well-being of black people. Only boot-licking Uncle Toms such as Clarence Thomas and Herman Cain pledge loyalty to this racist party that is overtly contemptuous and hostile to poor working people, unions, and the like. The Republican Party wishes America retains the good old days of America, where America was strictly white dominated in all aspects of policy, society, and the like. The Republican Party is suffering from the delusion that America can return to a former greatness whenever that was. Mitt Romney, who's a Republican, is a former Massachusetts governor, super rich capitalist Mormon, who seeks America's highest office. The Mormon Church historically has been one of the most racist institutions in America. Black people were prohibited and declared divinely inferior by the Mormon Church's satanic founders. Candidate Romney has proven his racism over and over with his most recent declaration of connection to black people through his slave-owning ancestors. Despite millions and millions, he cannot gain the firm backing of the Republican Party because in their gut, Republicans do not believe in him, knowing he is not one of their true conservatives. Romney is forcing all Mexicans back to Mexico, and as openly admitted, he does not care about the very poor. The bottom line is that Mitt Romney is an enemy to black people and a cutthroat CEO who has built a fortune off of manipulating capital and displacing poor people from jobs. We do not endorse this fraud, Mitt Romney, and he will lose despite all his efforts. So I talked earlier about Santorum, and those of you who would line up to vote for Santorum, and now the next one in line to take this candidacy now is this Mitt Romney. This Mitt Romney who they have put up, he's put up as the opposition to President Barack Hussein Obama. And I'm here to tell you straight up, Mitt Romney will not win. And if he does, he still ain't going to win. Trust me, Mitt Romney, I'm telling you, he's a racist, a straight-up racist, a racist cutthroat CEO. And it's crazy that some of you out there are lining up to vote for Mitt Romney. Some of you don't even know what you're voting for. You're just out there voting. Mitt Romney's a racist, and he will lose despite all his efforts. On to Mr. Barack Obama. We'll get him in there. But let me go to another caller here at area code 904-554. You're on the air. This is Black Power Radio. You have a question or comment? Black Power.
Just comment. Black Power. Black Power. This is Brother Kojo down here in Jacksonville, Florida.
Hey, Black Power, Brother Kojo.
I was just wondering, you know, since the police is doing all this killing, why not we, in this, and I got to say this, you know what I'm saying, why not we just, you know, profile the police so when they stop us, you know what I'm saying, we need to get out in the community, you know what I'm saying, and just profile them on a regular basis and see what they actually do and see how they come up with these justifiable homicides. You know, we just need to really get out here and patrol the block and just take a day out. You know, I mean, Massa ain't going to miss you if you take a day off. And patrol the police and just ride around. I'm not saying ride in the car with them. Just ride around wherever they go. We go and just be in the hood. Just post up on the block and just watch the police and see what they do. And matter of fact, just don't look at them. You know what I'm saying? We should be a gang of us out there. You know what I'm saying? Maybe some of us should be in ski masks. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Maybe we should just show up and make them feel so uncomfortable that they'll take their ass home, you know what I'm saying, and then, you know, maybe they won't, you know, be so hard on us, but we maybe should show up in ski masks when they're stopping brothers and sisters and just post up on them and just see what they do, you know. Because, I mean, it's a damn shame that we happen to hear tragic stories like this. But it's got to be a way that we can neutralize this and nip it in the bud. You know, I know unity is the most strongest thing, but it's got to be something that we can do to throw them off balance and make these devils say, hey, you know, we might not need to do this every 40 hours, you know. Black power.
Black power. Brother Kojo, appreciate you, brother, for your comment. And what he's saying is right, family. What he's saying is right in this regard. It is a Panther staple. It is a Panther program to watch the pig. That's the Panther program to do police patrols. And we have to begin to strengthen in our cities where they're weak, our ministries of defense. And we have to have viable ministries of defense that will really seriously protect our people. Who polices the police? That's the question that's being asked. Who is it that polices the police? You heard Sister Constance say earlier that Commissioner Kelly completely is standing behind his police department. And he's not the only one. Hell, them commissioners and governors and mayors all across the country are standing behind their police forces. You're standing behind them. And even when you know they're wrong, you're still keeping your mouth closed and going along and saying that it's justifiable homicide when it comes to black life. There was a report that just came out about this stand your ground stuff in Florida. They're saying now that this stand your ground only really works when it is a black life that's lost. Y'all didn't hear what I said. The stand your ground in Florida statistically is only being really upheld when it is a black life that is lost. You look at the case of Sister Marissa Alexander, who is behind bars right now. She's behind bars right now in Florida. She had a mate who was abusing her, beating her, domestic violence, and she took and didn't shoot the man, didn't hit him, didn't shoot him in the leg, didn't shoot him in the arm, none of that. She shot in the wall. Shot in the wall, and, you know, in order to scare this man and to get him to stop beating her, and she got 20 years. A mother, Marissa Alexander, a mother, a black woman, 20 years. She cited Stand Your Ground. The same way that George Zimmerman cites Stand Your Ground. She gets 20 years for shooting in the wall in the case of a domestic assault and domestic violence. George Zimmerman, initially, no charges at all filed until there was pressure from the people and until the new Black Panther Party announced the people's will to see George Zimmerman off of the streets. No pressure from the Sanford Police Department. No pressure from the Justice Department until the people put the pressure on. And George Zimmerman right now is free on $1 million bail. Marissa Alexander right now behind bars 20 years. And y'all trying to tell me land of the free and home of the brave, you're a goddamn lie. You're a lie. This is the land of greed and the home of the slaves. This is the land of greed and home of the slaves. It was written in your law that black men and black women, black people, have no rights that a white man is duty bound to respect. And you're showing it to us. And so we say clearly, brothers and sisters, we must have a nation of our own. And that's why I say it's a damn shame if some of you have given up the fight and you feel like there's nothing to fight for, with overwhelming evidence that your people are being genocidally murdered and killed. Systematically murdered and killed. Our people being destroyed, not only from a lack of knowledge, but straight up destroyed physically, put in the cemetery. Our sister Constance say they didn't even have her son in under the right name, wouldn't even tell her where his body was. You think that's a coincidence? Trayvon Martin's parents, Tracy and Sabrina Martin, they didn't tell them where their son's body was. Black people on a daily and consistent basis being killed, murdered, assassinated, sabotaged, and framed, and some of you ain't saying a word. You ain't lifting a finger. You think that because Jim Crow is over with, that, or allegedly over with, you got nothing to fight against, nothing to fight for. Billie Holiday talked about that strange fruit. She say them trees bear some strange fruit with blood on them leaves and blood at the root. She talk about black bodies swinging in the southern breeze. Strange fruit hanging from the poplar trees. Huh? Strange fruit, Billie say. And so even if you don't see the black man and black woman hanging from physical trees, you seen it a few years back with Frederick Jermaine Carter. Some of you have forgotten about him. Frederick Jermaine Carter. Even if you're not seeing us killed from physical trees, we're being lynched in the just us system, the criminal justice system of the United States of America. We have no representation in the court system. You have no representation and really no civil rights. You want to talk about crimes against humanity. They got all these commercials on TV about these dogs and these animals and cats and tigers and all this stuff being treated for animal cruelty. What about black cruelty? What about the crimes against black people, the descendants of African slaves? How come there's no talk about that? How come there's no talk about the fact that our people had to fight for civil rights? For the Civil Rights Act of 1964, our people had to fight, bleed, die, scratch, cry, and everything else just to get that. Why you ain't talking about that? How come that's not on the legislation floor? How come the stuff that's supposed to be basic rights or basic human rights when it comes to black people, we have to fight, bleed, cry, take life, give life, and everything else? We don't have the businesses in our community. Why? Because we're economically squeezed. Economically squeezed. Capitalism has economically squeezed the black man and black woman. How come the playing field in education is not level? How come the equal opportunity in education remains a pipe dream? How come in some black areas around the nation, the dropout rate is as high as 60%? How come black schools are withering from overcrowding and lack of resources, while the suburban schools and the schools in the more affluent districts and areas, they flourish? How come that's happening? Where is the outcry on what's happening to black people? What about the equality in the workplace? Huh? What about the equality in the workplace? What about the statistics that say if they see you coming as a black man and a black woman, you're not likely to get the job, even if you qualify? They tell you in some cases you're overqualified. This is a damn shame. Stop telling that lie. It's the land of the free. We were the first people in many of your wars. We fought in all of them, talking about black people. Fought in the Vietnam War, World War I, World War II, all of that. Fought in all of that. And then our people came right back here and couldn't get a bite to eat in this country. Where's the reparation for that? How do you fix the trauma that has occurred to black people that is causing us to self-destruct in cities throughout America? Black-on-black violence is a result of the violence inflicted at the hands of our 400-year-old oppressor, the white man and white woman. It's a subculture. It is a subculture. Black man and black woman, you ain't no gangster for real. We fighting over corners we don't even own. We just, most of you out there just banging and doing it for the respect and the honor. You don't even own the damn corner. Same police that's exterminating black life come through and tell your ass to move and your ass just move. Some of you, most of you out there, there's a few strong ones out there I've met. Some of y'all firing back. You say you ain't going nowhere. But most of you out there, you're moving, you're being cowards. Why is it that these forces can exterminate blacks and then there's no mobilization from the street organizations? Didn't the gangs begin protecting the community? The Bloods, the Crips, all of you, didn't you start? Wasn't your origin in defending the community? We've become the white man's nigger in a dressed up way. We take another call here. Area code 904-613. You're on the air. Black Power Radio. Your question, your comment, Black Power.
Black Power. Yes, sir, brother. You already came to me. Allah continue to bless us.
All right,
praise to Allah. Hey, Brother Sean.
Yes, sir.
Brother Sean, just keep in mind, Malcolm said he don't want integration. He don't want segregation. Don't want assimilation. What he wants is complete separation. And that's what we have to build to. May Allah bless us.
All right. May Allah bless you too. Hey, appreciate it. That's real. That's real. I'm just saying, we're going to have to have something to call our own. We've become the white man's nigger in a dressed up way, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad say. And we are accepting these media controlled images of ourselves, so that when they show these people on TV acting a fool, you starting to equate that to black manhood and black womanhood. I saw a picture, I posted it on my Facebook, of Snoop Dogg, the brother Snoop Doggy Dogg, a while back, walking some black females on a leash, two black females, walking them on a leash. And some of you came to his defense. So-called conscious men and women came to Snoop Dogg's defense. You know, that was an award show. They couldn't have did it without permission. You sound like a damn fool. If that was your daughter, would you allow Snoop Dogg to walk your daughter down the aisle on two leashes? Hell no. If you did, you're a punk and a coward. And you don't deserve the respect from your daughter like that. A real black man would stand up for his daughter, stand up for his family, period. Hell, would you allow an entertainer to walk your children down the aisle on two leashes, knowing what this cracker has done and put our people in handcuffs and in chains and walking them down the roads. We have lost our minds, black man and black woman. It's because we have lost the knowledge of ourselves. We are suffering from post-traumatic slave syndrome. And this is aiding in the murder of our people throughout the hells and smells of North America. The police can continue to kill us because we are disunited and disjointed and we don't love ourselves. We don't have love for ourselves as a people. But Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz is pushing the cause of black love, self-love. And he's showing you how to organize in the midst of your enemies something that we can call our own. And I have to say it is very successful. No matter what you think about this new Black Panther Party, this new Black Panther Party is very successful. The track record here of this party is unmatched when it comes to other parties, when it comes to black parties. We're not a religion. You can't compare us religiously. You got to compare us revolutionarily and politically. We're unmatched in the hells and smells of North America. Brother James talked about 9 ministries. We're adding more to that. Talking about the basic survival programs, the breakfast programs for the children. There's a lot that's coming up for our people. We're coming and growing to a point to where we're being independent of anything they got. Anything they got. We are becoming independent of our captors and oppressors. You got to just wake up, black man. We can speed this process up, black woman, if we wake up. Because we are not free. And until black people are free, I always say it at the end of every show, until black people are free, nobody is free. Nobody is free. Hell, how in the hell can you hold captive the sons and daughters of the mothers and fathers of civilization and claim to have some freedom? There are all these wars being fought in the name of a so-called freedom and fought in the name of a so-called democracy, and hell, black people are suffering and starving right here in America. Right here in America, we're suffering and we're starving, and you're going 9,000 miles overseas to fight for somebody's freedom that we fucking don't even enjoy in this country. Excuse me for cursing. We don't even enjoy it here. Everything that we have experienced in the hells and smells of North America, it has been a detriment to our people, except for the stuff that we've organized and got for ourselves. You've lied to us. The Democratic Party has lied to black people. The Republican Party has lied to black people. Some of you, you're casting your votes, and you don't even know what you're voting for. You'll vote for a Mitt Romney, or you'll vote for whoever, just so you don't vote for the other man. If you don't like Obama, you'll vote for Mitt Romney. If you don't like a Mitt Romney, you'll vote for Obama. And you don't know what in the hell their stances are. You don't know what their politics are. You don't know what their platform is. You don't know what the position is. You don't know what their ideas on international policy is. How you voting them in office affects your mother continent. It affects your people overseas. That's why we talk about Pan-Africanism and revolutionary Pan-Africanism. We talk about the unity of black people. That's what it means. The unity of black people, no matter where you're at in the face of the planet Earth, on the face of the planet Earth, the unity and connection of African people, Pan-Africanism. Okay? So you're putting people in office, and you don't even know their policy. You don't even know their stance. You don't even know if they care about you, if they're concerned about you. All you know is, well, they for the Democratic Party. I'm going to cast my vote. That's a shame and a disgrace. That's a shame and a disgrace. We must stop that right now. Cut it out. Black people know full well that when America talks about the pursuit of happiness, it's not talking about you. I seen you out there, some of you out there with the 4th of July running around lighting all kind of fireworks, big fireworks on the 4th of July. What the hell are you celebrating? What are you celebrating? You just heard our sister talk about Romali Graham. You heard her talk about how they assassinated her son in their home. And there's more to come. There's more police brutality to come because we're disorganized. What are you lighting a firework for? That'd be like the so-called red man, the so-called Indian problem. That'd be like them sitting down on Thanksgiving, giving thanks for Thanksgiving. And fool, Thanksgiving represents the genocide of the red man and red woman. Why would they sit down and celebrate that? What do you have to gain in taking part in America's holidays and subcultures? And then you get killed in your own home, killed in the streets, put in jail unjustly. Or if that don't get you, you get caught up in government-sponsored crack cocaine and drugs and heroin and all that stuff that they put in our communities. That's what they mean when they say pursuit of happiness. They mean they want to extinguish black people. They want to extinguish the black life and smash and destroy and dismantle any hopes of black liberation. How come all of our leaders were assassinated, those that stood up? As nonviolent as Martin Luther King Jr. was and as great as he was, assassinated, face blew off at the hands of counterintelligence. Malcolm X, as brilliant as he was, strong as he was, disciplined as he was, shot all in his chest in front of his babies and his family from counterintelligence at the hands of the United Snakes of America, COINTELPRO Project through the FBI. Huh? What about James Meredith? What about those who were just taken out? What about those who were exiled? What about those who were discredited? Mega Evers. What about, talk to me, what about the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey? Anybody who has stood up to free black people and to pull us together, why is it that these oppressive forces move on your leadership? Why do they slander the new Black Panther Party like they do? Why do they attack Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz like they do? It is because they know we are on to something. J. Edgar Hoover, cross-dressing punk sissy J. Edgar Hoover, said that the aim of the counterintelligence program was to stop the rise of a black messiah that could unite and electrify the hearts of black people. And he said it would be done ultimately through black nationalism. Huh? Stop the rise of a black messiah that could unite and electrify the people through black nationalism. And he said he wanted to discredit them to three separate segments of the community. And so they went and they attacked black organizations. They attacked the Black Panther Party. They attacked the Nation of Islam. They attacked the Republic of New Africa. They attacked RAM. They attacked the organizations that popped up, attacked Garvey early on, just in a different name. Attacked early on. And now they're attacking the new Black Panther Party. But we give thanks for the example of the black power general, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, who no matter what the circumstances surrounding his transition, whether they were natural or unnatural, and I'm never leaving out the unnatural in the case of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, who told the black nation if he slip on a bar of soap, the white man did it. If he slip on a bar of soap in the shower, he said a white man did it. We'll never leave that out. But no matter what the circumstances, we thank the Most High God for his example on how to stand and represent for black nationalism and represent for black power when others would not represent. We're living in the United Snakes of America. And the history of the United Snakes of America is a bloody history. And y'all got mad at some of the things that Minister King Samir Shabazz said a while back. You should have that same, you should have worse anger for what white America has done to black people. Samir Shabazz just talked about some stuff. He just talked about some stuff. Hell, as I heard the comedian Paul Mooney talk about it, white folks ain't talk about no stuff. White folks have done things to black people. It is a historical record that the white man would cut the womb of the black woman open and watch that fetus drop to the ground and stomp on the black baby's head. They didn't talk about doing that. They did that and have done that. Samir just talked about some stuff. But it is a historical record that the white man has tied black men and black women to two horses and made them run in the opposite direction and rip their arms out of the socket. They have done that. So when you talk to us about having a liberty and having democracy in America, as Minister Malcolm say, it's nothing but some dressed up hypocrisy. You're feeding off of our suffering. Feeding off of the pain and hurt of the mother of Romali Graham. Feeding off of the pain and the hurt of the family of Trayvon Martin. You're feeding off of the hurt and pain of the family of Sean Bell. Feeding off of the hurt and pain of Anthony Hill out of Newberry, South Carolina. Feeding off of the hurt and pain of James Byrd. You're feeding off of the hurt of our people. And so we have no choice. We have no choice in the matter other than to organize our people to remove every obstacle in our people's way. Every obstacle in our people's way. While you sit back and get fat and count your money, we have no choice than to organize our people in a revolutionary fashion to stand up against every oppressive force. We miss the days where we would hear strong Bobby Seale out there saying, we're going to organize our people into a revolutionary army. And he said that we would march on this pig power structure and tell them to stick them up with coming for what's ours. That's the Bobby Seale that we need to hear from. We have to organize against the mental disease. We have to organize against this neocolonialism going on in our communities. We have to organize against the parasitic drug trade going on in our community, making our people out of their minds. There's things that can be done. The 10-point program of the new Black Panther Party is a basic program. We're not asking for extravagance in that program. That's just the beginning of some black power. It's a basic program. We're talking about land, bread, clothing, housing, some real justice and equality. In brief, we're talking about some real organizing. It's a basic program that we're fought against on every turn. Every turn. You say the Jews were heroic for fighting against Hitler. Well, hell, we are heroic for fighting against you. The same conditions. The genocide of our people, the miseducation of our people, the disrespect of our people. We are in a worse condition. The Honorable Dr. Khalid Muhammad and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz say 100 times worse than any Jew that you can stand up. Any Jew that you can stand up, we are in a worse condition and position. And they have gotten reparations and they have gotten stipends and they have been given a firm footing, but my people are still in 2012 disrespected. That which was taken by force will be liberated. trapped our minds in Bibles. Even in some cases, trapped our minds in Qurans, trapped our minds in Medu Naturs, fixed our minds up in the stars and on Mars, and our behinds is behind some bars. We recognize in the new Black Panther Party a real enemy and a real historical enemy against our people. And we in the new Black Panther Party have pledged to lead our people into a state of awareness, a state of being, a state of revolutionary fervor that will allow them to throw off every shackle and every chain that is on our minds and our behinds and rise again to be a nation of our own and control our own destiny. We'll never be peaceful with a people who are not peaceful with us. Stop asking us about, are we violent? Stop asking Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz in his interviews about violence. Stop asking me about violence and asking us in the party about violence. We are peaceful when possible and violent when necessary in self-defense. We are peaceful when possible and violent when necessary. We are in a struggle for liberation. We are in a struggle for salvation. We are in an eternal struggle for us to be back where we were and greater than what we were. This is a real life and death struggle. We have real prisoners of war, political prisoners and prisoners of war, people that are locked down right now. I say this, anybody who gives you any kind of teaching that does not teach you to love yourself and to free yourself, you throw that teaching in the garbage. Any kind of education that teaches you not to love yourself and free yourself, you throw that education in the garbage. Any religion that does not teach you to love yourself and free yourself, you throw that in the garbage. It didn't come from God. The new Black Panther Party recognizes what must be done in this time. And we're here to tell you, black man and black woman, what must be done is the organizing of our people and the revolutionary standing up of our fervor and our commitment to free ourselves and our community. The Honorable Dr. Khalid Muhammad said that revolution is the only solution. Revolution is the only solution. We ain't talking about some fantasy revolution. We're not talking about some Hollywood revolution. We ain't talking about some colonial revolution that involves the enslavement of Africans. We are talking about the liberation of black people, first from the hearts and minds of our people and ultimately our physical behinds. In closing, I got a few minutes left. I'll take you to France Fanon. And if you've never read this book used to be required reading coming up in the Black Power Movement. This is called The Wretched of the Earth by Frantz Fanon. He talks about the real nature of the violence against our people. He says, what is the real nature of this violence? He says, we have seen that it is the institution of the colonized masses that their liberation must and can only be achieved by force. By what spiritual aberration do these men without technique, starving and unfeebled, confronted with the military and economic might of the occupation, come to believe that violence alone will free them? How can they hope to triumph? It is because, he says, violence, and this is the disgraceful thing, may constitute, insofar as it forms part of its system, the slogan of a political party. He says, the leaders may call on the people to enter upon an armed struggle. This is the problematical question to be thought over. When the militarist Germany decides to settle its frontier disputes by force, we are not in the least surprised. But when the people of Angola, for example, decide to take up arms, when the Nigerian people reject all means which are not violent. These are proofs that something has happened or is happening at this very moment. And so I say to you in closing, those who are standing in the way of black people, as the Honorable Martin Luther King said, he said, those who make peaceful revolution impossible make violent revolution inevitable. If you make peaceful revolution impossible, you only make violent revolution inevitable. The black man will be free one way or the other. And so it is not up to them to give us freedom. It is up to us to claim our own freedom. It's black power for black people. It's all power to the people. And if black people are not free, there's nobody free. Black power.